The Life of Christ in Stereo. Four inspired voices testify as one. Republished as The Greatest Story in Modern American English. Session 9, Chapters 13 and 14. The events in this section occurred between March AD 32 and July AD 32. If you're meeting together, pose this query and let anyone answer. What did you learn that was new, helpful, or important from what you read? And then, what questions do you have about what you read? Allow anyone to ask and anyone to answer. We now enter phase 5 of the life and ministry of Jesus as he moves towards the cross. We shall discuss events that took place around Caesarea Philippi in northern Israel. Jesus went there from the Sea of Galilee, and note this is not the city of Caesarea found on the Mediterranean coast. Caesarea Philippi was an important Romanized city in the time of Jesus and the apostles. Here was also located the grotto of the god Pan, today called Banias. Water flowed out of the foot of Mount Hermon, where King Herod Philip built temples. The cave still exists today, and the water still flows. Note that from Caesarea Philippi, in the lower part of this photo, go northwards to Mount Hermon, which Jesus and his apostles apparently did. So, we come to Life of Christ in Stereo, section 71, a blend of Matthew 16, Mark 8, and Luke chapter 9. We read, Jesus and his disciples went to the villages of Caesarea Philippi. The disciples were with him, and he asked them, Who do people say that I, the Son of Man, am? Now, Caesarea Philippi was named for Caesar, a pagan emperor, and built by Philip, a Herodian, that is, Arab king, ruling over Jews under the Roman Empire. Calling himself Son of Man, Jesus implies that he is the conquering Messiah whom the Jews had been awaiting for centuries. So, who was, is Jesus? Some say John the Baptist, they answered. Others say Elijah. And still others say Jeremiah, or that some ancient prophet has reappeared. Now, to this day, every religion has an opinion of who was Jesus. Some say a prophet, or a holy man, or a great master, whereas minor cults make him out to be some kind of angel, a deified man, or even an avatar. Atheists will declare that Jesus did not exist, or that he was a deluded rabbi. The biblical Christian answer is that Jesus was and is the Messiah, the Savior and Lord. But you, he said to them, who do you say I am? Well, Simon Peter answered for all of them, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Now, Messiah implied the anointed son or descendant of the ancient King David. Son of God was a common title for the Messiah whom God himself promised to send, a view of Mount Hermon. Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, said Jesus. Flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. All the gates of hell will not overcome it. Now the name Peter and the word rock are a word play. Peter translates Petros and rock Petra, probably referring to Mount Hermon. Gates of hell was an expression commonly used of various religious sites, including the Grotto of Pan at the foot of Mount Hermon. Now the term church in Greek ekklesia, was used in the Greek Old Testament for the nation of Israel, and in the Greek New Testament for all Christians. Jesus says to Peter, "I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will have been bound in heaven, and whatever you release on earth will have been released in heaven." Keys are power to allow in the faithful. The kingdom in question is Messiah's future worldwide government. And to bind or to loose, as used in the New Testament, Christians bind demons, rendering them powerless, and they loose people from demons, from sin, from addictions, and from hopelessness. Whether over earth or heaven, Jesus gives to his followers divine authority. Some believe that this was given only to Peter, but in Matthew chapter 18, verse 18 and following, Jesus says, "Truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven." In these verses, the pronoun you is plural, referring to all you apostles, if not to you all. So, we should ask, and then watch for answers. Returning to Life of Christ in Stereo, we read, "At that time, he strictly warned his disciples to tell no one that he was the Messiah." Why did he say this? Being Messiah had been his central claim to this point. Well, Messiah was the awaited king. Jesus presented himself as the king offering the kingdom. When he called himself the Son of Man, he meant the conqueror, the worldwide king, who had been foretold by the prophet Daniel. However, the prophet Isaiah had talked about the servant of Yahweh, or the servant of the Lord, the one who would suffer for our sins, that we might be saved forever. So, instead of becoming king of the world, Jesus was crucified, he died, and he was buried in a tomb. From that time on, Jesus began to tell his disciples that he must travel to Jerusalem, saying, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and teachers of the law. He must be killed, and on the third day be raised again." He said all this publicly. He must. Well, what for? For the forgiveness of sins, for every nation on earth, for all who will come to faith in Jesus Christ, he will return as Lord. And for all Israel who put their faith in him, he will return as Messiah. 6 days later, Jesus took Peter and James and his brother John up on a high mountain so they could pray by themselves. This was probably Mount Hermon. As he was praying, his appearance changed and he was transformed before their eyes. If this is Mount Hermon, then this is where the sons of God came down, who, according to Genesis chapter 6, corrupted human beings by fathering Nephilim giants. What do you see in this picture? Suddenly, two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared before them. They also were shining, and they talked with Jesus about his coming departure, which would occur in Jerusalem. Why Moses? Well, he represents the law. He also predicted the coming of the final prophet. Elijah was to appear again before the final messenger should come. Messenger also a messianic title. Even as he was speaking, a bright cloud appeared overhead and covered them. They grew more frightened as the cloud enveloped them. Suddenly, a voice from the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I delight. Listen to him. The cloud in Scripture usually represents the presence of God's glory. He stresses that this is indeed the Son, for their faith will soon be challenged. Jesus, Peter, James, and John now come back down from the mountain. As they made their way down the mountain, Jesus told them not to tell anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. So they kept quiet, telling no one at the time what they had seen and what Jesus had said. Amongst themselves, they discussed what rising from the dead might mean. Well, who is this? Do you know the story of Elijah, who went up into heaven without dying? They also asked Jesus, why do the teachers of the law say that Elijah must come first? Elijah is certainly coming first, he answered, and he will put all things in order. Elijah already has come, yet they failed to recognize him and instead did to him anything they wanted, just as it was predicted. They will subject the Son of Man to the same sort of suffering. Do you remember what is predicted about the Son of Man? It is written that he will suffer many things and be despised. Finally, the disciples understood that he had spoken to them about John the Baptist. Now, how did John suffer, if the Son of Man is to suffer in the same way? Who caused him to suffer? Well, in summary then, to this section, we note that before Jesus came, Moses gave the law and died, and Elijah was one of the prophets who was raptured into heaven. Both of them foretold the coming of Messiah, one calling him the Son of Man, Isaiah referring to him as a suffering servant. In any way, Jesus was crucified and buried in a tomb. But on the third day after, he rose again, and then he departed from earth and has been absent now for 2 millennia. Yet we await his return when he will establish a reign over all the earth. If you wish to continue with this study, then your assignment is to visit the LOCIS website, locis.site, S-I-T-E. Then read or listen to chapter 15 in the Life of Christ in Stereo, sections 92 through 105. So be ready to share your insights, queries, and objections.